This morning, as we begin a brand new series in the book of Galatians called Set Free, I would like to ask you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Galatians. Galatians is in the New Testament. It is written by the Apostle Paul, as we're going to talk about here in just a few moments. We're going to read verses in chapter 1, verses 1 through 10, Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. So if you would stand for the reading of God's Word, thank you for doing that. Galatians 1, verses 1 through 10 say this: Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. On January the 1st, 1863, President Abraham Lincoln, he signed Executive Order Proclamation Number 95. We know that as the Emancipation Proclamation. That was in 1863. 2 years later, legally, the war called the Civil War came to an end in 1865. From 1863 until June 19, 1865, the slaves in Texas were still operating as slaves. You see, word had never come to them that they were free, that the Proclamation 95, Executive Order 95, the Emancipation Proclamation, it had never reached them until the Union soldiers came across the South down and entered into Houston, entered into Galveston, up to Houston, and then word spread throughout all the state that they're actually free, that they were actually set free. And folks, I want to say that during that time, they were still living as slaves, living as chained and cuffed to their work illegally. Listen, slavery was a horrible place in our history. There's no place for slavery. In fact, there are people today do you realize that there are more slaves today in the world than ever before? And we need to be working against that type of thing because it does not honor God. But I want to say to you that there are people today in our world who are living cuffed to some things that have them bound, and they are no longer free. They are not free. Whether that be the financial markets that they ride the roller coaster up and down of my retirement account, or you're chained to a relationship that you know you're not married to that person, and you know that it is leading you to a bad situation. It could be that you're chained and cuffed in an addiction today. It could be chemical, it could be drink, it could be food, it could be something fantasy online, and you are cuffed and you are in slavery to something. Listen, it could be, I don't know if you saw the video, if you noticed how many times the phone, did you realize that there are people today who are enslaved to their phone? Not in this room, I know. That are enslaved, they're bound to an electronic device that they keep in their pocket. Bound to it. But I want to say to you, the gospel is that you've been set free. You've been set free. You've not just been set free from all of those things. I want you to hear me. By the gospel of Jesus Christ, you've been set free from sin and death. And today, I want to start a series. We're starting a series in the book of Galatians, and we're going to walk through this book. Around here, if you're new around here, this is your first time in, We sing, we give to the Lord, and we just kind of walk through a book. That's what we try to do. If we're in a passage, we try to walk through a passage. And so today, what I want us to see is that we are set free by the gospel, by the gospel. And Paul's going to be writing this. In fact, so why don't I just jump on in? I'm going to just jump into this real quick. As we talk about the book of Galatians, Galatians is the only letter of Paul. In fact, it's the very first letter, most theologians believe, that Paul wrote, the first epistle. Epistle means letter. It's the very first one that he wrote, and he wrote it on his very first missionary journey. He wrote it to a region where most of the letters of the New Testament that the Apostle Paul wrote, he wrote to like a city church. So he might, to the church of Corinth. You have the Corinthians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, or to the church at Philippi. You have the Philippians, the church at Colossae. You have the Colossians. Well, the book of Galatians is not written to one single church. It's what's called a circular letter. And it would have been written to a region, which is in today modern day Turkey. And it was written to a whole group of believers that Paul would have started that their churches on his very first missionary journey, probably somewhere between 13, 14 years after the ascension of Jesus Christ, after he was raised from the dead and then ascended back to heaven. And I'm going to give you some things today. I want you to take some notes. Around here, we take notes, and you go and you affirm what it is that the Scripture has to say, because I want you to go and see it. In Acts chapter 13 and 14, you're going to see the churches of the Galatians, all right, that they would encompass the church at Antioch of Pisidia, the church of Iconium, the church of Derbe, the church of Lystra. All of those are found in Acts 13 and 14. These are the churches that Paul would have went on his first missionary journey. He would have left Antioch of Syria. He would have traveled through Cyprus and gone up. And as he went into the mainland of what is today known as Turkey, he would have been preaching the gospel. And everywhere he went, he would start little bands of people, of these young believers who were Jewish and Gentile. And they would come together around the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then he would go to the next place. He would appoint elders and teachers, and then he'd go to the next place, and he would preach the gospel. And then you need to read Acts 13 and 14, because the man went through horrible stuff planting these churches. And then he would head on, and then when he would come back through to make sure they're all right, and then the Scripture tells us he got on a boat and he went back to Antioch. And now then, he writes this letter. He writes this letter some 18 months to 2 years later. It could have been that the letter that someone came from these churches to say, hey, here's what's going on. It could have actually been in his second missionary journey when he went back to those same places to look around and he saw what was going on. But he's writing to let us know, hey, listen, Galatians, and it speaks to us today, there's an issue. And here's what Paul's going to let us see. In these first 10 verses, he's going to define the gospel. He's going to define what the gospel is, and then he's going to talk to them about, hey, listen, some of you are deserting the gospel, and the reason you're deserting the gospel is because there's been some troublers who've come in to distort the gospel, and then Paul's going to set a defense for the gospel. This is what we're going to see today, and I'm going to move quickly through this, so I need you to listen quickly, take some notes, write down, because this right here, this book, this first little bit, let me stop here, put a little comma. This is the first book of Paul that he wrote. This is the very first one. And it's very different than the other ones. Usually in his letters, he would come out and he would say some really nice things. And then he would say, I've been praying for you. I'm so thankful for you. But his very first letter, he comes out, boom, firing darts. He comes out strong. His very first book, he comes out strong, and this whole book is about the gospel of Jesus Christ. The whole book. That ought to say something to us, is that his very first book, coming out of the gate, about the gospel, this is how important the gospel of Jesus Christ is today. So he defines it. So as we look, in Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, look at verse 1 with me. verse 1, he says this. He says that he's an apostle. He is one who has been called an apostle, one who has seen the living Lord Jesus. He saw him on the road to Damascus. The Lord Jesus called him and spoke to him. He says that I'm not an apostle because of the calling of a man or the hands of a man. Notice what he says here. He says, I am an apostle through Jesus Christ and God the Father, whom God raised from the dead. So he sets right here, he sets out some parameters of the gospel immediately, that the gospel does not come from man. It didn't originate from man. It originated from God. And he got what he got, his salvation from God through Jesus Christ, God who raised him from the dead. If you hear any, if the gospel that you hear does not show first importance that God raised Jesus from the dead, it's not a gospel. I want you to hear that. It's bad news. You know, the gospel means good news. And the reason there's good news is because there was bad news. The bad news is that we all had sinned. We have a sin nature because of our first father, Adam, and we are born in sin. You didn't sin and become a sinner. You sinned because you were born a sinner. And so that's the bad news. The good news is that God sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to die a death that we could not die because we weren't perfect. It took a perfect man. Jesus lived a perfect sinless life. He died a death that we could not die. He paid a penalty for our sin, my sin and your sin. He paid a penalty. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. 3 days later, he arose from death. And this passage here says that God himself called Jesus Christ, God himself called Paul, set him aside. This God, the same one who raised Jesus from the dead, this is what he said. And then look at verse 3. In verse 3, he says to the churches, he says, grace and peace to you. Grace and peace to you. You know what grace is, don't you? Grace is a free gift that is given to you in Jesus Christ. Grace is something that is extended to you. And my wife, when I screw up, I say something quick, I pop off, and my wife just passes it by and she extends grace to me, something though she could jump back in on me. She doesn't do that. Not that I do that at all, or you know, but she extends grace to me. You realize grace from Jesus Christ, if you try to buy grace, it's no longer grace. If someone offers you a gift on your birthday, at Christmas, at an anniversary, they bring you a beautiful gift, they hand this to you, and you pull out your wallet because you want to start to pay, you want to Venmo them, you want to Cash App them, whatever it is that you do, you realize it's no longer grace. You're trying to buy something. He says, listen, grace to you. And peace to you. What is peace? Well, peace is something that we can only get from God. Grace is something, peace is something we can only get from God. And the only way we get it is by receiving the gracious gift of Jesus Christ who died on our behalf. He died on our behalf. And when we surrender and submit our life to Jesus Christ, we receive his grace and we have peace with God because of what Jesus did. You can't serve him enough. You can't buy it. You can't. There's nothing you can do to get that peace. And many of you in here today, you're chasing after peace. You're trying to find peace. You're trying to find peace in finances and jobs, relationships, drink, drug, sex, whatever it is. You're trying to do all kinds of things. Can I put my ladder against this building to see how high I can climb? You've already climbed to the top of the building you're at and realize it's empty. Grace and peace only come. Notice what he says here. Notice what he says in verse 4. He says, how did he get this grace and peace? In Galatians, how did you get it? By Jesus who gave himself up for us. He gave himself up. You realize Jesus, the scripture says, he was murdered. He was killed on a cross by the plan of God. But Jesus also says, they don't take my life. I willingly lay it down. I willingly lay it down. Jesus laid himself down. So can I kind of tie this in a bow, verses 1 through 5? Can I tell you what the gospel is? The gospel is a free gift because of Jesus' death that he extends to you and I, that when he opens our eyes, we see him. He puts faith in us so that we can respond to him. And then out of receiving that grace, we now have peace with God. And there's nothing you and I can do for it. That's the gospel. That is the gospel. Now look what Paul says in verse 6, point number 2. He says, talking to them about deserting the gospel, he says, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you into the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. He'd only been there 18 months before, maybe 24 months. Give it 6 months. Somehow word has gotten to him or he's come back to them and he has seen what's happening. And he says, this is strong language. He's been really direct at the front to define what the gospel is, and now he comes out, and it's like the coach who grabs somebody by the face mask because he's got to get their attention. He says, what are you doing? I'm so astonished. The grace and peace that you received willingly, you're leaving it. Yeah, in fact, he says you're deserting it. The word deserting here doesn't mean like pudding. It's not like cake. It's not like ice cream. You're deserting like that. He's talking about like leaving. He's like the military, you know, the soldier that leaves his post. He's gone AWOL. He's still a soldier, but he's gone AWOL. He says, wait a minute, what are you doing? When they find a military person who has deserted his post, they bring him back. He goes on trial in a military tribunal. Why? Because he's still in the military. He says, hey, listen, what are you doing? Why are you leaving? I'm shocked. I don't believe it. 18 months ago, when I was with you and I preached Christ to you, that you would be free from the law. You Jews, you know, listen, no more circumcision. Sign me up. I'm in. No more circumcision, no more feasts, no more festivals, no more. You are free from the law. Why? Because Jesus said he came to fulfill the law, not do away with it. You have nothing you have to do to receive Christ except come to him and take the free gift. This is the gift. He says, you received grace and now you're leaving it. What is it that you're doing? You see, there this group of young believers in Christ, there had been new believers who had come in, Jewish believers. In the New Testament, they're called Judaizers. They're Jewish believers who have come into the body. They've come to Christ. But not only did they come to Christ, they brought their old religion with them. This is a Jewish and Gentile church, so the Jews come in and go, yeah, this is great, but listen, because Jesus was a Jew, we also need to have circumcision. We need to follow the festivals. We need to follow the feast. We need to follow the Jewish Sabbath. We need to do all of these things. Jesus plus something. And Paul says, wait a minute. This is not the gospel of... Listen, you were weighted down. And when I preached Jesus to you, grace came and there was freedom that was found. Why is it that you're going back to the law? What can never save you? It can never change you. You know what my experience has been as a pastor? So often as a pastor, we love grace when we come to Christ. Listen, you can't do anything for it. It's hard for us to imagine and grasp, though, because here in the West, in the United States, we always do something and you get something. You work harder, you climb a ladder. You work harder, you get more money. You do this, you get this. And that, listen, we love the idea of getting salvation for free, but what I see so often is when people come into the church and they surrender their life to Jesus Christ, they, yes, I'm thankful, but then you switch back and you start trying to earn favor with God. Because you're going, you mean, wait a minute, I'm free from this shame, from this guilt. And people start serving, they start giving, but they begin to do it in trying to earn favor with God. You realize that grace is not opposed to effort. Following Christ is hard. I want you to hear me. We work, we serve, not to get something, but because we have gotten something. Grace isn't opposed to effort. Grace is opposed to earning. You cannot earn favor with God. He's paid all the debt that we could ever owe. And he offers you the gift of grace. And Paul says, you're going back to an old way of life. Really what he's saying is you're shackling up again. The cuffs are on. And where you're headed is slavery and bondage to death, to sin, to guilt. He says, you've been set free. As a pastor, I'm often meeting new people. And sometimes, I'll meet people who are coming in hot and heavy. Boy, they're so excited. I really believe it. I mean, they love the church. And I these are the things I start hearing. I can do this. Man, I want to do this. And if you let me do this, and if you do this, and I can do this. And as a pastor, I just kind of sit back. I'm going to wait. Let's just kind of see. You know what my experience has been in those situations? In about 18 months to 2 years, the FBI couldn't find them. This is why we have deacons around here, so that our deacons can help nurture and come alongside. Typically, we wait for new people coming in. We want to wait a year, you know, give it a year if we can. I want you to get in and know who we are. See what's going on. Paul says, listen, you're deserting. You're turning away. You're leaving what it is that Christ has done for you, and you're doing it. Like, you're going back and putting the chains back on. And he says, why are you doing that? Look at the third thing. The third thing is they're deserting because the gospel is being distorted. The gospel is being distorted. I want to connect 6 and 7. Really, this one here goes with 7, but I want to connect these. Notice what he says in 6. He says, I'm astonished. I'm freaked out. I don't understand it. What's up? I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Number 7, not that there is another one. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. He's reminding them, listen, there's only one gospel. And I want to say this. This may be, as we would say in East Texas, this may ruffle some feathers here. You may be new here and kind of closing. This may close you off. I don't want it to, but I want to just show my cards. There's only one gospel. There's only one God. There are no other gods. There's only one. Only one. He is the living, true God. His name is Yahweh in the scripture. Capital L, capital O, capital D, R, capital D. He is the one true only God. We make wood, hay, stubble, plastic, televisions, finances. We make all of these other things, little G gods. There's one God. Only one. And it says that his son, Jesus, he sent his son, Jesus, to die for us. There are no other gods. You know what Paul says? You may be feeling a little rough right now. You may be going, ooh, golly, this guy's kind of dogmatic. Guys, I just want to tell you what the Word says. And Paul says, you're going towards another gospel, and there's not one. You're being distorted. You're listening to things, and they're leading you astray. I don't care how wonderful they're your friend. I don't care what their intentions are. They are leading you astray. And he calls them troublers. He says, there are those who are bringing trouble to you by distorting what it is that I brought to you, me and the brothers. You saw what happened. You saw our way of life, he's going to say. He said, and I brought you this. Not me, God, his word, you were set free and you're shackling again. Why? Because you're being distorted by a false gospel that is not true gospel anyway. There's only one, and then it's causing you to leave. You're deserting him because you're believing the lie. Do you realize that this is what Satan has always done and will always do? Go back to Genesis chapter 3 when the snake, Satan, the great dragon of chapter 19 of Revelation, that great dragon, that ancient serpent, the devil, he's always been lying. He looked at Eve and he said, hard to imagine a snake, talking snake, looks at Eve and says, did God really say? See, what he does is he takes a little bit of the truth, he tries to take God's word, he twists it, he moves it around better than any gymnast you've watched over the last 12 days, and then he distorts it. It sounds right, and then you begin following it, and before long, you've deserted. You've left the true gospel. You've left the true gospel. Some of you right now are going, Kyle, boy, you're coming out hot. No, this is what Paul did. Paul said, I can't believe it. Folks, we have to know the gospel. We have to know what is the gospel. Truly, what is the gospel? Have you ever thought about some of the false gospels that are out there today? The gospel of me and mine. Whatever I want to do, whatever my desires, whatever makes me feel good. Hey, you got your truth, I've got my truth. That works for you, but this is what I do. Guys, I want to tell you this. The gospel is for everyone. It's for everyone. Every person, man, woman. It doesn't matter your socioeconomic. It doesn't matter your race, your language, your ethnicity, your tribe. Every language, the gospel is for all. And his truth is for all. You go to any bookstore and there are like rows and rows of self-help. It's called therapeutic moralistic deism. How do I make myself better? How can I improve myself? I want to tell you, you can't do anything to improve yourself. Only Jesus Christ changes us. He's the one that transforms us. He didn't come to make you better. He came to transform you from the inside out. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. Jesus plus anything. Jesus plus baptism. Jesus plus baptism. Jesus plus I've got to give this much money. Jesus plus I've got to serve. Jesus, I've got to be in this thing. I've got to jump this high. I've got to run this fast. That's false gospel, folks. It's Jesus and only Jesus by the grace of Jesus Christ, we are saved. It's not prosperity, health, and wealth. You can't sow a big enough seed or enough seed. We don't give so that we can get. We've received, so God, it's all yours to begin with. It's all yours to begin with. If I had enough faith, if you had enough faith, you could be healed of this cancer. If you had enough faith, your house wouldn't have blown over. If you had enough faith, your child wouldn't have died. If you had enough faith, your friends wouldn't be like abandoning you. Talk to Job, please, about this. Folks, it's false. It's false. Jesus plus a little bit of Hindu, Jesus plus a little bit of Buddhism, Jesus plus a little bit of Muhammad, Jesus plus a few golden plates buried in a ground somewhere that Joseph Smith found. Folks, I want to tell you it's false gospel. Some of you are going, I don't know if I signed up for all this. I need you to know this is how important. Because when we hear something, it sounds right. Maybe. If we don't know the gospel, then we end up following. I don't care how good your friend is. I don't care the latest book they've read. If it's not what the Bible tells us, what Jesus said, I am the way, I am the way, I am the truth, and no one comes to the Father except through me. The exclusivity of Jesus Christ. You heard the statement that all roads lead to heaven. I want to tell you there's a little bit of truth to that. Well, I want to say this, there's a whole lot of truth. Because every one of us are going to be in heaven at the throne, at the judgment seat of Christ. And Scripture tells us that one day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he is Lord. But he says he's going to be separating those who do not know him. If you follow any other God except Jesus Christ and surrender your life to him, you can't follow Jesus plus this person, Jesus this, Jesus that, Jesus plus all these things. It's Jesus alone. I'm coming heavy today because this is how important it is in our world today. This is how important it is. Every religion, every thought says, I've got to do this to get to God. If I do this, I can get to God. If I do this, I can get to God. Every other religion says that. Did you realize that Jesus Christ is the only one that said, you can't come to me? And God said, I'm sending my son to you. You can't climb the mountain. I'm going to send him down the mountain to you, and then he's going to walk up another mountain and die on a cross for you. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. We can't do anything about it. All we can do is receive it. It's a free gift that he gives us. We confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and we believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. You know what the promise is three times in Romans 10, 9 through 13, is that you will be saved. You will be saved. You will be saved. That if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart, God will save you. That's the gospel. Paul says, I can't believe you're leaving it. I can't believe you're going back to death. I can't believe you're going back to shackles and chains. I can't. You've been set free, and now you're going to bind yourself back up because of these Judaizers who've come in. You're listening to a lie. So what do you do about it? Well, look at verse 8, 9, and 10 to close out. He's defined it. He's asked them why they're deserting it. He says, listen, you're deserting it because it's been distorted. And then he defends it. I want to read verses 8, 9, and 10. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. Verse 9, as we've said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God, or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Jesus Christ. I want to cut to the chase here real quick. Paul says this is so important. He says, if we, who is we? Well, one, it's Paul. Go back up and look at verse 2. In verse 2, he's identifying who's writing it. He says, it's from me, an apostle, and the brothers who are with me. He says, if we, that means I. Paul says, if I come to you and I preach anything other than what you've already heard, if I do that, let me be accursed. Do you know what the word accursed means? Be damned. Be damned. Sent straight to hell. Paul says, if I preach anything other than what I preached to you 18 months ago that I'm preaching to all the churches, may I be accursed because it's a false gospel. Here's his verily, verily. You ever heard of verily, verily in the New Testament when Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you? He's trying to get some emphasis. Paul's verses 8 and 9 say the exact same thing. It's so important that he wants you to hear that if any other gospel comes, let them be damned. Let them be accursed. Folks, I want to say this to you as clear and direct. If you ever hear me preach anything other than Christ crucified, buried, raised again, ascended to the heaven, he's perfect, there's any other thing, then you need to get a new pastor. You need to get a new preacher. This is the only true gospel. Not because I said it, because this is what Paul wrote to us and has given to us. How did he get it? Directly from God. It's important. So how do we defend it? How do we keep from being distorted and then deserting? Well, you got to be devoted to the gospel, folks. You got to be devoted to it. Because if you're not devoted to it, I mean studying it, learning it, applying it to our lives, talking about it, singing about it, devoting our finances to it. If you're not devoted to the gospel, you're not devoted to it, you know what's going to happen? Your well-meaning neighbor, friend, coworker, great buddy, the ad on Facebook, the ad that comes up in Instagram or TikTok, it's going to go, looks right. Boy, they've got a big crowd coming together. They're even doing it in Jesus' name. Yeah, listen, did you realize that there is a group of people called the Mormons who today are redefining who they are? They've always been called the Church of Christ of Latter-day Saints. Always been called that. But they're in a massive campaign right now to not be called Mormons ever again. They don't ever want to be called Mormons again. Until the last year, when you get on Google Maps to find a Mormon church, you know what you would find? You would see a little statue of the angel Moroni who delivered these golden plates to Joseph Smith. What does the scripture say right here? Paul said, if I or an angel from heaven come to you and preach anything different, they've been defined by that. Do you know what they're now defined by on Google Maps? A cross. Do you know why? Because they want to be portrayed as a Christian denomination. Anything that is different than Jesus Christ, him crucified, the sinless Son of God, the only Son of God, he says is a false gospel. But you see, if it looks good, my friends like it, they're doing well. Boy, they present a wholesome picture. Could it really be wrong? If you don't know the true gospel, you're not devoted to the gospel, you're not living the gospel, you're not speaking the gospel, you're not sure about the gospel, it looks good, you see the distortion, eventually you will desert. Do you realize, I want to say this, I'm not worried about you deconstructing. If you're at this church, I'm not worried about you deconstructing. I'm worried about you deserting. Because you're hearing little bits of the gospel, what is the gospel, tied with a bunch of lies. Because Satan always does the same thing. Hasn't changed. Folks, his plan has never changed. What he does. So we have to know the gospel. God's one and only Son, born of a virgin, living a sinless life, being crucified on a cross, who lived, though he lived sinlessly in perfection, buried in a tomb, raised again, who has ascended to the Father, who today is praying on your behalf, asking the Holy Spirit to do the work that only he can do. But I need to make sure that you're clear on this. The gospel is not just, I can be saved. The gospel is, he continually saves me. The gospel is for my marriage that's wrecked. The gospel is for my finances that are wrecked. The gospel is for the relationships with my kids that are wrecked. The gospel is that when I'm in danger of deserting because I've heard a distortion, I can turn back to the Savior and say, listen, thank you for the Holy Spirit who has revealed this to me. And you're calling me home. That is the grace that will provide, again, peace. No break in relationship. He loves you. He's calling you today. Some of you are here today as followers of Jesus Christ. And you've bought a lie. You've heard a distortion. You may be about to desert because if you haven't already, because you've bought the false gospel. You know what the grace of God is? Is that he's brought you here today. That's the grace of God. And he says, you come, turn to me, begin to follow me again, begin to read my word. Some of you in here today, because you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. Someone brought you today, or you stumbled in here and you thought, and you really didn't stumble, the Lord brought you. But you think you stumbled in here, and you're going, dude, this is not what I expected. And you know what I'd say? I'm so glad. Because I want you to know, we want to be people of the gospel, the good news of Jesus. Not the good news of my friend, not the good news of what I've seen on television, but the gospel of Jesus. That I can't work for it, I can't buy it, I can't earn it. It's the only thing that will sustain me, protect me, go before me, provide for me when I need wisdom. It's the only thing that's the gospel, the good news of Jesus is the only thing that in my deepest, darkest moment that I can turn to. And he'll never leave me or forsake me. This is why Paul comes out so heavy. This is why Paul comes out strong on the very beginning. And today, I'm asking you, I'm calling you, I'm challenging you, I'm urging you, would you be a person of the gospel? Someone who would stay in the word, someone who would get into a gospel group, someone who would give their life serving in a kids area. You know, for me, when I teach the gospel, it drills down in me more deeply, doesn't it? When you teach something, you got to kind of know what you're teaching. You don't have to be a super giant. You got to be like 2, 3, 4 steps ahead of somebody. And we want to help you with that. Today, we ask you, we call you, if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, we urge you, come to Jesus today. He's the only one that can change you. Transform your life by giving you a new heart and then a new perspective and a new family to live with. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We honor you. I'm asking you to do what only you can do today.